Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching.
Today, we are joined by a very special guest, Kyla Mitsunaga. She is a family constellations facilitator, theta healer, and author. She is the author of two books, With Versus At, Two Prepositions That Changed My Life, and On Growing Thoughts from the Field. She also does family constellations in the Bay Area, and she does retreats as well. Both Erin and I have been to her retreat, and I would say from my perspective, and I'm sure I can speak for Erin as well, it is such a powerful experience. And we are so happy to have Kyla here to talk with us today. Kyla, is there anything else you'd like to say to our listeners about your work and anything on your mind?
Oh, hi, everyone. Thanks so much for having me. I absolutely adore Erin and LaShawn, and getting to be on retreat with them was just really, really cool, having heard so much about Erin from LaShawn initially. And LaShawn has been with me on and off as a clestie. We say Kyla speak, client turn bestie, clestie, almost since COVID, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, just before COVID, I think.
Oh, really?
Just yeah, I met COVID? You just before COVID. I think it was in 2019. It was the Black Female Founders.
That's right. BFFs.
Yes. So Kyla is the queen of acronyms.
And creating her own language, because I need more words. I need more words in my life. But yeah, so happy and honored and humbled to be here. I love these two so much. And I've heard so much about the podcast, and I love coaching as benevolence. It's such a great, yeah, speaking of words, such a great combination of words together. So grateful to be here. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Kyla. So you've introduced both of us now to family constellations, which is one part of the work that you do. And you have so many other roles as well. But let's start there. Why don't you tell us about your why in selecting family constellations as a key modality for you and for healing with and healing others, and how that is included in maybe your retreats or other one-on-one experiences with clients as well?
Sure. Would it be a good idea to like share with folks like what family constellations is first?
Yes. Yes.
I think that's fantastic.
That's great.
Just, you know, because not everyone knows what it is. Just in my experience in the Bay Area. So like LaShawn said earlier, I have been running family constellations in-person events in the Bay Area and retreats. What is family constellations? It is an incredible alternative healing modality founded by a German psychoanalyst named Bert Hellinger in the 1990s. So Hellinger spent a lot of time, like 13 years, living and working with the Zulu tribe in South Africa as a missionary. And all you really need to know about that is the Zulu tribe, like any other indigenous tribe, has ways in which to connect with their ancestors who are both living and non-living. And Hellinger was really struck by this because they use a lot of healing sentences, which we use in family constellations. So an example of this is, you know, in the West, how we say as our greeting, like, how are you? I'm fine, thank you. And you? And then you're sort of like out the door with like the groceries. Like, I'm just imagining like a supermarket scene. But, you know, for the Zulu tribe, their greeting is, I see you, in their language. And it means, you know, I see all of you. And by seeing all of you, I acknowledge all of you, not just the parts that are convenient for me. And so he took this, you know, he was back in Germany and, you know, he was working with German patients. And because he was working with German patients, you know, Germans are the descendants of either the Nazis or the Holocaust survivors. And so either way, lots of ancestor trauma. So he was really looking for a way to go grow beyond traditional talk therapy. And so he combined the Zulu tribe work, healing sentences mainly, and ancestor rites and rituals with a lot of different Western modalities. And the main one just to know there is Carl Jung's work on archetypes. And all you really need to know about that is that sometimes when we're, you know, we get stuck in our thoughts of like, you know, oh my gosh, am I, I'll just speak for myself. Am I enough? Am I enough? Sometimes it can be hard to get out of that downward spiral. And so the work that Family Constellation does, oh my God, it's 1:11 p.m. on 11/11. This is crazy. And I'm here with you. Amazing. So how Family Constellations works in real time is a group of strangers come together, like both Aaron and LaShawn did on a retreat, or if they were to come to a Bay Area in-person event. And one person is the seeker. Seeker is Family Constellation speak for a client. And we would have all the different strangers in the group represent either different family members for the seeker, or it could be emotions, organizations, countries, fate. Really, you can have anybody represent anything for you. And I, as a facilitator, would facilitate this for the seeker's highest and best catharsis. And also, we say in this work, for every single person who comes and who represents, or even if they just observe, they are also getting healing for their family and their family system on a very deep level as well.
Yeah, I like how you summarized that. And we can, I think, continue that conversation, maybe continuing to nuance what it really is. And before we get there, I would like to go back to that question of why this modality, and why do you think it's so effective?
So why is a great question. You know, in this work, people often say that Family Constellations finds you and you don't find it. And really, Family Constellations found me, I would say. The background of that is I was depressed for 2.5 years. My mom was diagnosed with early onset dementia. I fell into a deep depression and I went on this healing journey during COVID. Shortly after, I met LaShawn. And we use the term met loosely because really we mean online. We met on Zoom, as people did back then. Yeah. So shortly after, you know, I decided to try other alternative healing modalities. So I must have tried during that time around 20 or so. And Family Constellations was one of them. I just was really struck by it. And it was so, so powerful and so profound, the energetic shifts and the impact that it had on me and subsequently my family system and how I interacted with my family members and still do. And I then quickly decided to get certified and jumped into a year-long certification program. And I'm in my second one now. So yeah, I would say just the profoundness and the quickness of the healing was very striking to me. And I'm a classic Taurus, so I'm classically impatient. So I'm just always like, what's the quickest thing? And also we don't have to prolong suffering. You know, there are ways that we can get to the root of what may be causing you stress or anxiety or grief or depression and heal it very quickly.
That's beautiful. As you were talking, I was thinking about what you said about Family Constellations finds you and doesn't necessarily something that you look for, or, well, not very many people know what Family Constellation is. I mean, I know about Family Constellations because I know you. And because at the time, you know, you were delving into that and it was quite new. And I remember how excited you were, and you would come back and you would express how these training sessions and first of all, I didn't even know, like, Family Constellations, what's that? And I could only gather from what you were saying that it did have something to do with family and something to do with ancestors and family systems. So that is, I think, such a powerful thing. And Aaron and I touch on those things, on healing and relationships and that kind of thing. And I wonder if there is an example that you have, and of course you don't have to name names or anything like that, but just an example that you have of that healing taking place that you have witnessed as a facilitator?
Yeah, happy to share. And I'm happy to share this example because it's out in the open. I have a very good friend who is a tea leaf reader, which I think is amazing. I think her exact position that she's given herself is tea leaf wizard, which I think is really cool. And, you know, she came to me, this was a couple years ago when I was first starting and first doing family constellations publicly, and I was terrified. But she came to me and she was like, oh, you know, I'm really worried about money. And I don't, you know, I don't really have any sort of relationship with money. Like, it's just like a blank. It's just blank. And I was like, okay, well, this is certainly something that I think family constellations would be really helpful with. And we ended up, you know, having somebody represent money for her and then some key family members. And then the next thing you know, and this was one constellation, this was one group constellation where she was the seeker, she was the client. Next thing you know, I end up meeting up with her and she's like, oh yeah, you know, my business partner who's like male identifying, he was always the one that would do the business deals. And these guys are like, not a joke. Like, they work with big companies like Genentech and, like, you know, nonprofits, museums, like they're everywhere. And, you know, they're breaking ground. And I think that they're the only ones who are really doing it in the Bay Area. So it's even that much more growth spirational, another word, if growth and inspirational had a baby. So yeah, so previously, before the constellation, her male identifying business partner would do all the deals with like the Silicon Valley companies and talk about the money, talk about the contracts, things like that. Cause she was like, no. After the constellation, she was doing them. After the constellation, shortly after the constellation, they 3x their revenue. After that constellation, you know, they then had this idea to invest in high-end tea in China that was only available to the Chinese elite pre-COVID. And then because of COVID and the economy, they decided to release it to outside of China. And they have a really loyal community and they have a loyal community following. So they went to their community and with this idea to do community investing into this high-end tea in China. And so she will still say till today, like, you know, that one constellation just totally shifted things for me. And, you know, now they're doing, I'm not at liberty to say, I just spoke to her recently, but they're doing even more things, pushing boundaries and in business and in tea leaf reading. And it's just so incredible to witness. Like, I'm just so grateful to have been able to witness that and still get to hear updates from time to time from her.
So speaking of pushing boundaries, LaShawn and I both would agree that that is something that you do when it comes to your own business in an authentic and wholehearted way. How do you do that? How do you do that authentically and wholeheartedly?
Yeah, thank you for acknowledging that. That means a lot coming from both of you. Yeah. How do I do it? Well, before I answer that question, I want to just put it out there transparently that, you know, I definitely have days where I'm like, I'm quitting, like every other day, sometimes and sometimes not. And so knowing that, right, knowing that I'm not perfect, one of the things that is really, really important to me and for me is to be able to be completely transparent with my clusties. So because if I show up and I'm like, look at me, I'm perfect, and look at me, I know everything, and look at me, which is completely not authentic or genuine, I am perpetuating an incredible, and not in a good way, double standard that was created by white supremacy, the patriarchy, toxic capitalism, basically old hetero white dudes who were at the tops of almost every single industry. And I cannot live with myself doing that. And I coach my clients, my clusties around that, and I can't be like, oh, I'm going to coach you on that. And then myself, like, hey, I'm going to be perfect and I'm going to show that I'm perfect and look at me. That was my perfect voice. So the main thing is to just be really transparent, right? And so if I am completely transparent with my clusties, with my community, then I don't have the pressure to be or say or do certain things that are not aligned for me. And, you know, that gives me a lot of freedom, right? Like I came on this, you know, call, this podcast episode, and was completely transparent with Aaron and LaShawn. And I was like, hey, full transparency. I looked at the questions that you sent over, but I didn't like get a chance to like answer them, right? So, but if I had come on and be like, all right, let's go. I know all the answers and like, you know, that's a hard facade to upkeep. To keep up that facade is very, very tiring and very exhausting and not aligned. And that's not what the clusties are going to get anyway, right? They want to get exactly who you are because they're trying to figure out or get to exactly who they are, right? So, and we're all scared. We're all trying to like navigate this thing in this really male-dominated world that we live in. And, you know, the beautiful thing is that it is a practice. And so the more you can practice this, the more you'll start finding the right people, your right people, your exact right people in community who also want to show up exactly as themselves and who will say to you, wow, how you do business really makes it very soothing on my nervous system. And I'm also in those containers myself, where how my coaches are doing business is very soothing for me on my nervous system. Right. So I'm putting myself in those communities. I'm also trying to embody that by being transparent. Right. And I live my life like, okay, if this was my last call, and this is our podcast interview, would I be okay? Hell yeah, right? I could just like hang out with them all day, right? And then the last piece I would say is we don't start a business to use it as a vessel to beat ourselves up. We start a business as a vessel to love on ourselves. So yeah, hope that answers the question.
Yeah, I love that. And one thing that comes to mind is I know how nurturing and encouraging it is to be in your presence when you are transparent. It's like a big sigh of relief for me as a person who is building my business. And I'm looking to you and I see all the things that you've done, and you do it so transparently that I can say to myself, well, we all have our own journey, and these things happen to even Kyla. So it's a great feeling to be a partner with you in that. It's like I'm accompanying you on the journey rather than, you know, looking up to you, which I do that too, but it's not like, you know, the power dynamics are very different. And so you create this atmosphere, this nurturing atmosphere through your example of transparency and the way that you interact with your clusties and the people that you work with. Is there And I wanted to say something about you said the vessel. We do not use our business as a vessel to beat ourselves up, but rather love on ourselves. And this also reminds me of what Aaron and I believe strongly about coaching as benevolence and how it is a kindness. Is there an example that you can give to those women out there who are building their business, who want to show up authentically and transparently, but may not necessarily have the tools to love on themselves through their business? Can you just give like one example?
Yeah, sure. You know, so much of business is not about business. So that's really the thing, right? So if something feels really scary, or, you know, if you find yourself like beating yourself up, or you find yourself stuck, or, you know, how do I get, I mean, I think the number one question, right, for any coach is always, how do I get more client, right? I think the best way, you know, if you don't have tools, is to really ask yourself, like, what's the most aligned way to do that? And one of the questions that I get a lot from clustees is how, right? How do I get clients? How do I start marketing? How do I get on social media? How do I build my audience? How do I figure out my niche? How, right? There's a lot of how questions in business and in coaching. And what I share with clustees, and I have entire one-on-one sessions around this, is any how question can be turned into what's the most funziest way to do that, right? So what's the funziest way to get more clients? Get, you know, like for me, that was, I went on this social media app that was only audio for 58 days, 58 days straight. I went on 10 a.m. Pacific time every morning, and I did one-on-one family constellations on there. Now, did I get clients from it? No, I did not. But eventually, right, it planted the seed of really helping me get really clear and confident in explaining exactly what family constellations is, right? And that's such a huge part of marketing, right? As we just talked about, Aaron, in our container this morning, all marketing is, so number one, meet people. Number two, tell them with confidence and clarity what you do. And number three, if they're interested, share how they can work with you. If they're not interested, don't share. Don't be that person that's trying to like sell something that someone's not interested in, right? So yeah, did that help to answer your question, LaShawn?
Absolutely. That was really clear. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yes. And having just experienced going through kind of that marketing scaffolding, it was helpful and helped me go back to that original question of that, what's most fun? What's the most fun way for me to do this? But also it helped me lean into my true identity. So maybe that's a good segue into talking about, you know, what are true identities and how can we use those not only within business, but just, you know, showing up authentically and living a good life, living the life that we want and need to have.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's such a huge part of the Mitsunaga method and what we teach on retreat. And something that I learned from one of my coaches, Simone Saul, it's a true identity. So in life, we have a lot of socialized identities. For example, daughter, sister, coach is also one, mother, wife, partner, right? And these socialized identities carry a lot of weight and pressure and stress. And it kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you have seen this in Colorado. I'm sure you have. It's everywhere. There's a woman, you know, pushing a cart, a shopping cart, and she's got her kids in the shopping cart. She's on the phone. She's juggling like 10 million things, and there is no partner there. She's caring a lot, right? That's sort of the image that comes to me when I think of women just caring a lot. And it's exacerbated by these socialized identities of a mom has to do this, a daughter has to do this, or else she's not a good daughter. So what I learned from Simone is something called true identity. And the true identity is who you really are at your core. IFS has something similar to the internal family systems, like core, your core identity. And your core identity, so mine is, for example, the magical miracle. You know, you get a set of 10 questions, you know, asking you in rapid fire, like, who are you beyond, you know, what people think you are? Who are you beyond time and space, et cetera, et cetera? And you get to these incredible true identities, like who you are at your core. For me, it's the magical miracle. And it came to me because it's a miracle that I survived depression, not just my first one, but multiple, overcoming multiple depressions. number one. Number two, it's a miracle that I'm here on this planet, because my parents were only going to have one child, my older sister. So it's really a miracle that I, from that, came here, out here into the world. And it's a miracle that I get to do this kind of work. And I get to work with incredible humans like you two and other incredible humans who are open and curious and want to do business another way. They want to do life another way. They're tired, and also they're excited at a new possibility for creating new neural pathways, right? To how we used to think. And what we used to think was the status quo was the buried as in the socialized identity world. You know, you're buried under those socialized identity weights that you're carrying, right? The true identity, they don't carry weight, they're free. And so when you can start solving your business and your life from your true identity, right, then things start becoming aligned very quickly.
That's so beautiful. I love that. The true identity ba versus the weight of the socialized identities. I love that, the difference there and how that feels. One of the things that Aaron and I often talk about on the podcast is the idea of letting go, of surrender. And that's what came up for me when I was listening to you as you were talking about the journey one goes on to find or to reveal their true identity. And I wonder if you could speak to that idea of surrender and letting go. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's so timely. I think we've talked about the Surrender Experiment, that book by Michael Singer. Such a great book. Grain of Salt is written by a white dude, old white dude. So, and it's also quite powerful when you start to really surrender, you know, ourselves, right? Surrender the socialized identities and tap into the true identity, right? I think what is very challenging for folks, and I'll speak for myself, I'm totally included in that, is that we are often looking at the past. And what I mean by that is our body is completely facing the past. So past thoughts, past actions. Somebody said something to me yesterday or 2 weeks ago or when I was 5 years old. Those are all in the past, right? Because we're often then looking at the past, we can't be present, right? And because we can't be present, we certainly then cannot start walking towards or facing our future, what we want, because we're looking at the past. So, what is so beautiful about family constellations work is that it helps us let the past carry all that stuff that's no longer serving you, that you're bringing into your present, right? Once the past carries that, you can just start moving your body towards the present moment, right? There's so much about the present moment. I know this is tangential. We're moving from surrender to what's that guy Eckhart Tolle's work, you know, the now, being in the now, right? But it is really important that surrender, let the past go, surrender and leave things there so you can be present, and then you can start turning your body towards the future, your future. And what starts happening is we then start creating these just really neutral relationships with the past, right? Whereas before it used to be so like heavy and weighted and maybe icky, right? We're just creating a neutral relationship, and we're surrendering into that, right? When we surrender into that, we start accepting exactly where we are. That's part of the transparency, right? Hey, this is exactly where I am this morning. I didn't sleep last night very well because I was worried about my group this morning. and I want everything to go well. I have this former inner people pleaser that's strong, and I'm battling that. I've got this podcast. I scarfed down my lunch to get here, and I'm also really excited to be here. This is exactly where I'm at, right? That puts you exactly now, right? We do this thing, right? We do putting stuff in the middle. So if you've ever worked with me, or if you want to work with me, part of this Mitsunaga method, part of what we do is we do collective presencing, which is where we put everything that's no longer serving us, that's keeping us from being present, we put it in the middle. The middle is a space between us, right? That can carry a lot. So if you have friends who are like, oh, I can't tell you that, I don't want to burden you, this is a situation where no one is being burdened by what anyone is saying. No one is carrying it, but the middle, the space between us. And the middle is much, much bigger than all of us and can take it, right? Surrendering our stuff into the middle. That's a surrender too. So we can be completely present, right? So we're not worrying about past or, you know, the next 4 years, for example, you know, so we can be here and create a neutral relationship with everything around us. So then we can make better informed decisions out of love instead of fear and start using our businesses as vessels of love and not fear. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And as you were talking, I could just picture myself back in Oakland Hills, you know, sitting in what is like a treehouse space, beautiful space, and just letting go of some of those things and putting them into the middle. And I think the beauty of that is I'm not doing that alone. I'm doing that with other people too. So there is this both level of common empathy that's felt among the group, but also this level of like, no one here has to carry this either. So I think it's just a very beautiful practice. And I think also looking back, you know, with family constellations and how you have to kind of look back to move forward, it is a little paradoxical because you're healing that kind of looking back. But I think that's what makes family constellations so powerful for me in particular, was just being able to let that healing happen with no expectation and non-attachment. And so just as, you know, Kyla was explaining that level of surrender, I was also feeling it myself from what I had experienced being a part of a family constellation that she facilitated and how powerful and healing it was for me. And LaShawn and I both have said, you know, this is probably the most healing modality we've tried so far, having tried many, many, many different healing modalities. And I know we don't have a lot of time left, but would love to maybe hear from you, Kyla, maybe any lingering thoughts and feelings and anything else that you can share about your business that we can share with our listeners.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, Erin, and about being in the Oakland Hills retreat with the trees and that deck. And LaShawn, I know you were in Arizona in the desert, so a little bit of a different backdrop. I love what you said, Erin, about the paradox of, you know, going back to move forward. And I think that there's power in paradox and there's power in balance. And that's one of the three principles of family constellations, which is about their strength in giving and receiving, right? Sometimes in relationships, when we give too much or, you know, we don't give enough to ourselves, right? Then there is going to be some sort of chaos. And same thing with work, right? Same thing with your business, same thing with family, relationships, any kind of relationships, right? There is strength in that balance. So yeah, I just wanted to share that point. And any lingering thoughts? Yeah, I just think, you know, to bring it to coaching as benevolence, you know, I think that, and maybe you both also think this, or I'll just speak for myself, but, you know, I think that often people misunderstand coaching and they think it's like, oh, you know, someone's going to tell me what to do and then I'm going to do it and then I'm going to be happy forever and live happily ever after, like the princesses in the in the Disney movies, right? But you know, the best coaches are the ones that are holding up mirrors and showing you exactly who you are, and that it's okay to love and accept yourself exactly who you are and surrender into that and use, doesn't even have to be your business. It can be your life as a vessel to love on yourself, no matter where you are, no matter how much money your business has made, no matter how many clusties you have, no matter what kind of financial portfolio you have or whatever. So I think that's really important to share, because I think that, you know, Family Constellations also does that and also helps people really just neutralize relationships with everyone, including themselves, without any kind of narrative. And yeah, how can people work with me? Just we have our 2025 retreats on our website. Super terrifying and exciting. Full transparency. That website is kylamitsunaga.com. So you can go to that. Yeah. And if you're curious about this work, you know, feel free to sign up for like a free virtual matcha latte date also through my website. Happy to chat more. Grateful to you both, Aaron and LaShawn, for having me here. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. It has been such a wonderful conversation with you. So much wisdom. And one of the things that Aaron and I do at the end of the podcast is we say our coaching nugget of wisdom. And Aaron, I don't know how you're feeling about this. Would you like to have Kyla give the coaching nugget of wisdom first, or maybe we should let her wrap us up with a coaching nugget of wisdom? What do you think?
I think let's Kyla, if you're okay with it, we'll have you end it with the coaching nugget of wisdom. So LaShawn and I will say ours and then you say yours to kind of wrap it up. Does that sound okay? So
Okay. That was
I don't know.
great.
I guess just one nugget of wisdom that is speaking to me right now is being able to lean into authenticity amidst the fear. It's not like we're going to just automatically let go of fear or surrender to fear. And yet, through these healing opportunities, these healing modalities, and having conversations like that, it makes leaning into authenticity much, much, much easier. So, as you embark on your journey, it's okay to have mistakes, and it's okay to have missteps, and it's okay to still feel that fear as you're starting out doing something new or continuing something you're already doing, or if you're wanting to manifest a change in your life.
And my coaching nugget of wisdom has to do with a theme that's been kind of flowing throughout this conversation that may not have been articulated. And that is the idea of placement, that there is a place for everything in your life. And when you can acknowledge those things in your life that are affecting the way you feel or the way things are showing up in your life, there can be a lot of power and healing in acknowledging your ancestors, acknowledging your pain, acknowledging your past, and placing it in its rightful place. So that's one thing that I got out of this theme of placement.
So good. I love that leaning into authenticity for Aaron and the placement, proper placement for LaShawn. Gosh, what to share? I think for me, there's a lot to say about just being transparent. I think that that's something that keeps coming up. And how can I say? So when you're doing big things in life, so you know, like taking up more space, like maybe you're going to be giving a talk, or maybe you're going to be launching a project or a webinar or a group program or one-on-one coaching, or, you know, it's not about like, okay, like be more brave and just do it, which is also like sort of very like bro culture-y. Drink more Red Bull and nah. I'm not about that life. I'm about the nap life. But so, you know, I think that it's not about being braver or just do it-ing. It's about creating neutral relationships. So create a neutral relationship with fear, creating neutral relationships with bravery, creating neutral relationships with, you know, what's going on in the political landscape right now, creating neutral relationships with that big project or that big thing that you have coming up, so that the thoughts and emotions that are making it heavy, right, will fall away and you can make better informed decisions based in love. And so the same goes with the transparency, right? Like create a neutral relationship with transparency, vulnerability, integrity, honesty, you know, whatever it is that's going to help you tap into sharing exactly where you are so that you can move forward in love and not in fear.
Thank you so much. We have been speaking with Kyla Mitsunaga. She is a family constellations facilitator. She is based in the Bay Area. And if you want to find her, you can go to kylamitsunaga.com. Thank you again, Kyla.
Thank you. Love you both.
Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.